Maniacs.
Hey, Mystery Maniacs.
Welcome to a remix.
Boy, that was a rant that you went on. It just finished.
Here I thought you would like blend it out and people would just hear that I was like had a tone. But No,
there's a thread on Reddit.
People really listened closely to how I was feeling about it.
There's a thread on Reddit now. Today's episode, 37 minutes. Oh. I'm
going
to go on a rant.
We got other stuff to do.
Welcome to episode 201, The Problem at Sea, and I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for Cockney Poirot and Your Little Doll 2 remixed.
Wiki, 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 wiki.
I love that you do the hand moves like you're on a turntable and nobody can see you do it.
People can't see me do that.
You do the little wah, 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 wah,
so scratch. Before these remix episodes, we throw a little bonus material your way so that we keep up to date with things and have some fun. But the first thing we want to talk about is UK Midsummer viewers. The waiting is over.
Finally. Poor people.
Unless, and I don't want to jinx it.
Charles dies.
Charles passes away or something.
If he doesn't, or if something else doesn't happen, you will have received
The Black Trees Prophecies last night.
Season 23, episode 1 of Midsummer Murders. Yes. Finally,
we have a mini episode for that, mini episode 18, called The Stupidest Wallpaper. Because if you remember, it's some stupid wallpaper.
Yes.
And then now, if you've listened to it, now
if
you can listen.
If you can listen to the full episode.
If you watched it, you can listen to the full episode 150, The Black Trees Prophecy. Actually, one of our top episodes.
Ooh.
Gloomsday Preppers in the Party Pit.
I love our titles. I forget how crazy our titles are, and then I go back and look, and they always crack me up.
So.
And sometimes I don't even remember why we called it that.
Yeah.
Like, it's
there
crazy.
Are times I look at the title and go, I have no idea what we're
now,
talking
and
about.
And Your Little Doll, too, I get. Yeah. I understand that. The creepy doll.
So those releases will be in the show notes of this episode as well.
Yes.
Along with the regular show notes. So you get all the remix show notes and all that good stuff. This will be our last remix episode. I don't know. I think we've covered all the other episodes that we've done.
Yeah.
This may be our last remix episode.
Yep.
So then we go back to Poirot Season 1, Number 8, The Incredible Theft, that will be released on April 22nd. And then, dear listeners, I got to tell you, the last two weeks of April and the first 2 weeks of May, crazy time.
People are tired of hearing about how crazy our lives are.
So I'm not sure exactly.
Let's just say I just had to buy 3 sets of cap and gowns.
Yes.
They're expensive.
The schedule after the 22nd will be in flux. So
we'll roll with it.
Yep, we'll figure it out.
The 28th of April.
Yes.
Is a special day.
Yes. We will be doing the Tea with the Maniac.
Yes. So not just one, 2 maniacs.
Tea with the Maniacs.
There you go.
Yes.
That's on April 28th, which is a Sunday at 4 p.m. We're going to treat it like our real 200th episode.
We have a lot of questions.
4 p.M. Eastern, Eastern U.S. time.
4 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on YouTube.
Yeah. So you'll be able to see us answer your crazy questions.
Yeah. And we'll save the chat and do all that good stuff so that if you watch it later, you can see all the chats and all the questions. And we're going to keep it to an hour.
Yes, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes, as well as it came out this week that Father Brown and Midsummer are now in production in the next series already. So just in time, England, you will remain 2 seasons behind.
It's an English show. I'm angry on their behalf.
If only there was a way that you could talk directly to Midsummer and tell them how dissatisfied you were with the fact that in the UK you're not getting the episodes till like...
Don't get into it.
2 years
Don't get into
later.
Your venting. Hey, this week we got a couple of really good emails from folks, and I just want to say hi to these people.
Yep.
So Diane emailed to say that... she and I think her husband are downsizing, and they had to pack and then they had to unpack. And she said she listened to the podcast while she was doing it, and it helped her through all of that. You know, leave it to us. We are a great thing to listen to while doing tedious things.
Yes.
We're awesome at that.
Like sleeping and packing.
Yes. A lot of people listen while they're sleeping. I'm glad we can help. The other email we got was from Bethany, who said that she's working on a master's and working full time. And maybe we're a little stress relief. I relate to that. I understand. I started a PhD with triplets who were 3 at the time. I did my master's when they were like 6 months old. I get it. It's tough.
In the space of the children being to 7, we did
3 degrees between us.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Wow.
So I understand. And hey, I'm glad we can be of a little help. You know, if you need some proofreading or something, let me know.
That's excellent.
I've been there.
Excellent community building, Sarah.
Yes.
Something that, I don't know, another podcast might not do any of. Sorry.
You're riled.
I'm a little riled.
I've stopped listening to it, but you keep doing it, and this is happening to you.
Yes.
I've got a little recommendation for everybody. Even if you've never seen it before, you need to go and watch the newest episodes of Time Team on YouTube, right?
Yep.
So Time Team used to be on TV. They brought it back and now they're doing original things and they're only putting them on YouTube.
Yep.
So if you look up on YouTube, you look for Time Team. The latest 3 episodes are the 3 days of a dig they did in a town called Modbury. Okay. Now, Time Team is an archaeology show. They dig in the dirt. They find things, yada yada, you know how it goes, right? Even if you've never seen it, that's how it goes, okay? We've got just 3 days to do it, right? However, there's something special about these episodes because there's a guy in them who's never been in a Time Team as far as I can remember, and I think I've seen every episode
multiple
at least
times.
Once, okay? Yeah. He's the architectural historian that they bring in. He's a little guy, and it's in summer, okay? Everybody else is wearing a t-shirt and shorts. Everybody.
It's Toby Jones playing this guy.
They look a lot alike.
Okay.
So if you can imagine Toby Jones.
Okay.
In little glasses.
Yeah.
And a black trench coat.
Oh, does he have a fedora?
No.
Okay.
A black trench coat and a messenger bag, crossbody messenger bag the whole time. Okay.
In this weather, in the UK.
While everybody else is wearing shorts and complaining about being sunburned, he's wearing that. Okay.
Though it has been rainy in the UK lately.
It's not in the episode.
Yeah.
Okay. When they're digging, there's no rain.
Yeah.
Okay. He wanders around. Seemingly separate from everybody else, finding random bits of architecture to comment on, including calling a ceiling delicious.
Oh.
Like he wants to lick it. And he finds bits of fireplaces embedded in sidewalks and people's yards. And
he gets murdered before the cold open.
That's what I was going to say. One of the things about being a maniac is that even when you're watching a show where nobody gets murdered, your mind immediately goes, oh, he'd be the victim.
Yep.
And in this Time Team, this guy would absolutely be the victim because he can't be the killer because he's too sus.
Yes. So you
he'd
watch
be too
that.
Easy to pick out.
You watch that on the Time Team official channel.
Yes.
On YouTube.
So there's 3 episodes because they do an episode for each of the day of the dig. Every time they say test pit, you got to take a shot.
Yep.
If you make it through all 3, I'll be impressed. Because, man, there's a lot of test pits.
Yep.
But you got to watch. You're going to watch it like a maniac now. You got to watch for this little guy. He's awesome. He's incredibly weird and awesome.
So, UK listeners, reminder, watch your Midsummer last night. Go back in time. Watch your Midsummer.
No, go back in time further and listen to the mini first.
Watch the mini.
Then watch it.
Listen to the episode. Watch the episode and then listen to our episode.
Let's be fair. If they could travel in time, they wouldn't have waited this long to see it.
That's poor people. That's true. And then we will return on April 22nd with Poirot Season 1, Episode 8, The Incredible Theft. How British.
How very British. If you've not seen it and you keep hearing us say that, you'll understand. But this week, enjoy Problem at Sea.
Bye, Maniacs.
Bye, Maniacs. Hey, maniacs.
Hey, maniacs.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
You know, these maniacs are fantastic.
Well, I knew that, but why particularly are they excited? Awesome right now.
Not only have we retained everybody, but we have grown our audience substantially already.
That's fantastic. Lots of more maniacs.
Yes.
Muchomaniacs.
We are on the verge of 1,000 followers.
Oh, you've been saying that forever.
No, we're almost at 900.
Okay, everybody else is going, yeah, he has been saying that forever.
Well, I'm telling you, if there's a way to make me shut up.
I don't want you to shut up.
Because once we get to 1,000, I don't know whatever milestone after that. I don't really care.
Have nothing left to talk about. You'd be like, I guess I'm just going to do a podcast now. Stop talking about YouTube.
Yeah. So anyway, get your kids and your grandkids to
follow us. Hey, we're going to have new swag.
The latest thing on YouTube is to go, it's free.
Oh, that's important.
Yes.
Because of all the ding old iTunes, you can click subscribe and pay $1.99 a week to listen to this without annoying ads. Maybe you just shouldn't have it so many.
We're just
going
to make this very clear. We're never going to charge for this podcast.
And we're never going to have ads.
Never going to charge. Never going to have ads. We're not interested in that at all.
Anywho, in September, we'll have new swag in the store, though.
Excellent.
And we'll have a new charity for the said swag.
Yes. Fantastic.
Sometime in September. I'm not making any commitments on what day.
Excellent. That's
what I'm
like now. I'm still getting through October. Oh, my gosh. No.
It's only
still
August.
Still getting through August. We have a week and a half left. Lots to do still. Yes. Well, when this comes out, only a couple of days left and almost everything's done.
We're living in the future.
We're living in the future. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're ahead. You guys, you longtime listeners will know how long that will last.
Yes.
Mystery Maniacs is a comedy recap podcast dedicated to the British mystery TV. Each week, we dig into an episode of a show, including the murders, the mayhem, the loonies, and everything else we love.
So long as there are British corpses, we're there.
Yes.
Not that we want to kill British people. No. We don't, but we do like to watch them die.
This week, we're covering Poirot. Season 1, Episode 7, Problem at Sea.
Oh man, there's so many problems
there
at sea.
There are so many problems at sea. I'm Mark.
I'm Sarah. And wow, this is are we like 10 minutes in?
Yeah, this is a spoiler podcast.
We're going to ruin it. If you don't know who killed the old bag on the boat,
Colonel Gamperton. Stop now.
Oh, you got to give him a chance to stop.
No.
He did it.
That show is 20 years old.
The question isn't
it's
who did it.
It's more than 20 years old.
Anyway, it's how did he do it that Poirot figures out. Once he figures out how it could be done, he knows exactly.
Your kids are old enough to go on a strange cruise with old people. How boring would that cruise be for those teenage girls and that little girl?
Is Meanie? When she's an old lady, she's going to say, I help Poirot solve a crime when I was 7.
There's so many questions. Just as an introduction for new people, remember, we're going to say Agatha Christie's Poirot, just as Poirot, not just Agatha Christie.
We're talking about the one and only David Suchet Poirot.
The one and only.
The only one that counts. If you're talking about TV versions.
Well, we'll get there.
We're going to compare this to the short story ever so briefly, but then we're going to just pretend that there's no short story to talk about.
The short story is probably 10 pages.
It's very brief.
It is. I was like, we're done.
The end. Agatha Christie liked to get to the point. That's why people liked her writing.
You get 3 descriptive words of your personality if you're a main character, and that's it.
Yeah. Tight shoes, egghead, done.
Not even Poirot. No. No Poirot. Poirot, it is assumed you know who he is.
Well, we've got lots to talk about this TV adaptation.
Yes. 19th of February, 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. A million years ago.
What was going on in 89 culture-wise? So this is set in the 30s. So you don't even associate like what was going on in the world.
It's like 50 years in the past.
At the same time.
Imagine 50 years from now, like past now. Which would
you mean in the future?
The 70s. No.
So what was popular in 1989? What was on the radio?
Paula Abdul was on the radio singing Straight Up. She was super popular
Now, Tammy, do you
and
really
Wild Thing to... by Tone Loc.
Oh, Wild Thing by Tone Loc. That was Poirot's favorite song. Like to do the wild thing.
What I Am by Edie Brickell was also in the top 10.
Oh my God, that's an earworm.
Yeah, and You've Got It. The Right Stuff by the New Kids on the Block.
Yeah. These are all things Poirot would hate, by the way.
Oh, most definitely. But we have more bad music to get to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So February 1989, directed by Rennie Rye and written by Clive Exton.
The right stuff.
We start on a boat. And I have a question here.
It's the Maldives.
The Maldives?
Yeah.
Question I have is what is filmed in England and what is filmed in Egypt? And
it is not filmed
where
in Egypt.
Were they?
It is filmed in Rhodes, very same place that the last episode was filmed.
It's filmed in the exact same location.
Yes.
But
redressed. They did some set dressing, and the stuff on the boat is actually filmed on the boat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This boat was recently, and I say recently, in the last 15 years or so, completely restored to its original state by a very rich person.
That's cool.
It's quite beautiful.
I can imagine.
You can imagine Poirot sitting there having his creme de menthe.
Yep.
It looks beautiful.
But up on the deck is Hastings and the girls.
Oh, and his
every
stupid clay pigeon
time,
shooting.
Every single time I see this, I think somebody's going to get shot in the face in this scene.
Now, Hastings is not the sharpest stick in the bunch.
No. Nope.
But he's not a dunce.
Boy, he does love the attention he gets from doing this clay pigeon thing, though.
You know, but I don't think it's from the girls that he wants the attention. I just think he loves to organize.
Yeah,
I think he's excited to have an event.
Yes.
And he wants everybody to be excited about it.
I can only imagine how bored he is. He doesn't read.
Right. He's super bored.
Yeah.
And there's no legitimately pretty women in his age bracket that he can gawp at on the boat. He's going to let Pamela and Kitty hold a gun.
So how old do you think these young ladies are?
Pamela says to Kitty, do you want to use the slingshotty thing, the catapulty thing? And Kitty says, I think I'll learn the gun part first.
Yes.
No. Hastings is very careful with the gun, though. He keeps it broken over his arm.
Oh,
Hastings. At all times.
Shows
he's careful.
Gun safety.
But then later when he's talking to them, like, well, you have to shoot this direction. You can't just shoot wherever. You might hit the mast or worse. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always waiting for or worse.
How old do I think they are or they're supposed to be? Or what are you asking me?
Do you think they're supposed to be?
22.
Really that old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they have no chaperone with them.
No, they have no chaperone.
Now, they are on a private cruise ship that only has 12 passengers.
Yes.
Which would have cost a lot of money.
Yes.
The closest estimate I can get for what is at least a 2-week cruise.
At least 2 weeks.
On a very small ship is about $30,000 in today's money per person.
They got to be.
Now they're sharing a berth. They have bunk beds.
Yeah.
They have the lowest quality
room,
you know, passenger room. So maybe they're on there for 20 apiece.
Maybe.
But somebody really wanted to get rid of them for a few weeks.
I think you should go on holiday in the
Mediterranean. Hot stuff.
We're hot stuff. Well, they could be listening to the captain reciting Swinburne poetry. Algernon Charles Swinburne, English poet, playwright, novelist, and critic, wrote several novels and collections of poetries, including poems and ballads that contributed to the famous 11th edition of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Wow. Algernon Swinburne.
Yep.
That is one British name.
That is one British namey name.
The Mrs. Morgan, the other two ladies.
And their niece?
And two are together on the boat.
And her dolls.
Are at least in their 50s.
Yes.
They're old enough to be her grandmother.
I tell you what this story needs is a shark attack.
Tell me why you think they are on this boat with that little girl.
I think probably the little girl is having a new brother or sister added to the family.
Oh, I thought maybe her parents were killed in the first war.
Could be that.
And she lives with them now.
Yeah, that's true. Could be that.
The Ms. Morgan who sings.
Yes.
Is singing. She's practicing at the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
And she sings Crushing Out Life.
Yes.
Crushing Out Life. Oh. Her vibrato is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Which is from the Kashmiri Love Song, which Hastings doesn't like that she sings. But do you want to know why she's singing about crushing out life?
Okay, first, I want to tell you on the adventure I went on, which was I tried to find the Kashmiri love song and instead found Kashmir singing Love's All I Want on Top of the Pops.
That's very different.
1979.
That's very different.
I'll put it in the notes. It may be the most 1979-est song of all time.
You fell down that rabbit hole willingly. You didn't think that that was the song that she was singing.
But I'll
she
put
was
it in the
sing,
show notes.
Straight up now, tell me if you really want to love me forever.
But it is like,
wow,
I want you to
better.
Come. I want you to come look at this.
I'm sorry. I'm imagining her in that headdress with the big feather going, wild thing. And then, Sorry, you're missing my dance because this is an audio medium.
So I played some of Kashmir, Love's All I Want for Sarah from Top Pop.
I would rather hear Ms. Morgan sing Tone Loc's Wild Thing than listen to that song. There's my verdict.
It's horrendous. So tell me about the Kashmir love song.
All I need to tell you are the lyrics that are around the lyric that she's singing.
Okay.
I would have rather felt you round my throat, crushing out life, than waving me farewell.
Wow. That is some goth time lyrics there. Is that Evanescence singing that?
I'd rather choke than break up.
By Susie Sue.
Just kill me now. Which is probably what everybody thinks listening to Mrs. Morgan sing. But
probably.
I understand why Hastings would prefer her not to sing that song. It's not really a happy song.
Yes.
And paired with The Army of Today's All Right is quite jarring.
Yes. Well, you know, Sarah, I live quite intensely.
Oh my gosh. I hate her from the moment she's on screen. I read this analysis of this story, specifically of the episode. It was a review of the episode. And the person who wrote it was very sympathetic to Adeline and said that when she's in front of the mirror in her room singing to herself,
yes,
that she's reminiscing about the days when she was younger and more beautiful and got attention that her husband doesn't give her anymore. And it made her seem sort of sad.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, well, that's unfortunate. And then she talks.
Yes.
And there is no sympathy for her anymore.
No.
She's what, 50? Maybe. And she's talking about, it was my hospital. Poirot is just flummoxed. She cuts him off constantly. Yes. Like, I'm cutting you off right now. And when she says, if one is not alive, what is one? And he says, dead. And she's like, oh, he's not offended. He's like, oh, she's gone. Good.
Yep. She leaves her magazines.
Yeah, whatever. Because she's just so unpleasant.
She sees her husband talking to his latest paramour.
Now, he does have his hands on her shoulders.
He's touching her, man.
Which is like pretty forward for the 30s.
And he's lying to her.
Well, that's what he does.
Well, he's saying that there's no sharks in the Mediterranean. Let me tell you how wrong he is.
Go for a swim. It'll be fine.
The Mediterranean. Dun, dun. The Mediterranean is home to 15 types of sharks, including blue sharks, black tip sharks, short fin mako sharks.
Wait a minute. Are any of these big enough to actually hurt anybody?
Including the smooth hammerhead shark. Yeah, these are big animals.
Okay, okay. So don't go swimming in the Mediterranean is what you're saying.
Yeah, but, you know, she should get hit by an axe. Wow, out of nowhere he comes out with that.
Kind of unprovoked.
Yeah.
If she was my wife, I'd put an axe in her head.
Hyderabad.
How do you really feel?
So you know where Hyderabad is?
Yeah.
Where?
It's in India.
It's in literally the center of India.
Yeah.
Is the most central place to India. I didn't know.
Mrs. Henderson or Ms. Henderson is so clever.
Oh, she is one of the best lines here.
She has many good lines in this episode.
She has many good lines.
But when she tells Colonel Forbes that she can't exercise because her religion forbids it this time of year, it is classic.
Poirot twitters.
Yeah.
He titters.
Yeah. They make that eye contact or she's like, oh, I was naughty. And he gets, Forbes gets up and like, well, okay then. And walks off.
Yeah.
One of the reviews I read of this episode said that maybe she was insinuating something about her period. I'm like, no.
She's just making a joke.
She's just totally lying to him, yep. And he can't say anything back because he's polite.
Yeah.
Like, what religion is that, lady? Let me see your book and prove it to me. He's just like, well, okay. Off he goes.
Poirot's reading a magazine called The Bystander.
Yeah.
Which, again, like last week, is not the American Bystander, which is the American version of this magazine.
Right. Yeah.
It has a super cool Art Deco logo on it that was only in the from 35 to 39. So somewhere in there.
I'm kind of surprised he's reading that magazine. It's kind of a Tatler magazine.
Yeah.
It's a gossip magazine, which isn't really.
I think he's just reading whatever he finds.
He's just looking at it.
Yes.
Of course, he probably knows a lot of those people too. And their dirty secrets.
Yes. So now we get to singing The Army of Today.
Well, you can't forget Skinner. Are you spying on us?
Yes. I mean, no.
No, I was just coming to take your dishes away.
He is totally a Pink Panther Clouseau villain.
Yes. So one lens of his glasses is black. Is that to replace a patch?
I don't know, because he has an eye behind him.
Yeah.
I don't know what if he's not in the story at all. He is pure creation. By the way, Hastings is not in the story.
No, it doesn't matter. If he was blind in that eye, there would be no reason to put... It must be an unsightly eye, which we can only think is a war injury, right?
Something.
But it immediately makes him creepy.
He's creepy. Skinner is creepy.
Of course, he's not doing anything to correct that assumption either.
No, he's not. He's a thief.
He's a thief and he's creepy. He's skulking around. And his name is Skinner.
Skinner. We're all civilians now.
Then why do they all go by their military titles? Captain, Colonel, everybody, all the men. Like, even Clapperton makes one up. I mean, like, why?
But I love it when Hastings gets frustrated.
Yes.
Like, and this is another episode we're not talking about. But when he's dating the woman who's into architecture,
yes.
And all he does is go over and meet her mother.
And have tea, because she avoids him all the time.
His frustration is delicious. And it's the same here. He goes, all I told her was don't sing military songs or Indian love songs.
What does she do? And Bates is great, because I don't know if we're supposed to think that Bates like served with Hastings, but they clearly have connected.
Yeah.
Even though he's a passenger and Bates is working on the ship.
Yeah.
But they've clearly connected. But Kitty and Pamela go after Mr. Clapperton, who is old, married to a hag, and here's single man Hastings.
Okay. This is maybe why they got sent on the boat.
Because they have bad taste in men?
That they have a thing for married men.
Because Hastings is attractive fun.
Matrimony.
Yeah. But, like, I don't understand that. And when Adeline licks the Turkish Delight.
Okay.
So there is a moment here. Oh, she's so blessed.
Where Adeline is given Turkish Delight by her husband.
There's nothing in my house older than 3 years.
Performs a sexual act on that piece of Turkish Delight.
We have a picture of it.
I'm putting it in the notes. I dare you to tell me that is not a sexual act.
How can she pretend to be so proper and right about everything and then do that?
And then Poirot just speaking French all over the place.
Though I do like when Mr. and Mrs. Tolliver introduce themselves to her.
Yes.
And she says, oh, and your name? And she says, I'm Mr. Tolliver, and this is my wife, Mrs. Tolliver. And Adeline says, what a clever arrangement.
She's just so horrible.
They kind of deserve that.
People.
Don't you just want to kiss the ground and thank God you never had children? Actually, we did.
Oh, she knows quite well that they had children.
They are so oblivious too. They're like, whatever, okay.
Meanwhile, Poirot has his giant telescope out.
That's a clever little walking stick he has that has a little telescope on the end.
Yep.
It's not quite as clever as the one he has in another episode that turns into a chair.
Yes.
But it's clever.
It is.
He says the moon is a giant oof unkakot.
So oof is Egg.
Yeah.
I know that
It means a baked egg. It's like baked an egg in a pot.
Egg in a pot.
Now, we've already said Mr. Clapperton does this.
Yes. Right?
I knew that going into this rewatch. So when I'm rewatching something like this, I already know who the killer is.
Yes.
I look for evidence along the way to make sure that they didn't manufacture the clues in the flashback at the end. You know? When Clapperton is at the door talking to Adeline through the door, and his back is to Poirot and the girls, his throat moves.
I noticed that, and that's excellent. And I really like that part, as opposed to the part where they just did camera tricks with the cards.
Well, yeah.
I wish they would.
They should have taught him a card trick.
They should have taught him a card trick.
Because, and somebody can tell me if I'm wrong, the dealing the 1-1-1-2-2-2-3-3-3, that is an impossible trick. There's no way he could do that. Unless he does, I don't know if the thing in front of him on the table is another deck of cards or the box that those cards came out of. Unless he has a second deck that he's already put in order and he swaps the decks when nobody's looking, there's no way he could have done that.
I'm not a connoisseur of card tricks. I'd be surprised if you could do that as a card trick, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody's tried to do that as a card trick.
If they can swap decks without anybody seeing it for one that's already in order, I fully believe it. But, you know, he does that trick just to put them off.
Yes.
To make them think that he's a magician.
Absolutely.
And not a ventriloquist.
And it works because, you know, that sort of stuff is instantly charming.
Yeah.
You do it once.
Right. If you do it more than once, you're annoying, right?
Yeah.
But I was impressed to look back and see, his throat moves ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Now, apparently in the short story, her voice is described much more shrilly. So it's more convincing that he could pretend to be her, that he could do an impression of her.
I think it's a conceit that we have to say we're okay with.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
They say they're going to take him to the souk. Do you know what the souk is?
The market?
It's like a bazaar.
Yeah.
And the kasbah. Do you know what the kasbah is? It's a fortress.
Yeah.
But he asked for his Baedeker. Do you know what that is?
His travel guide.
Yeah, so his travel guide. So, listeners... I found the Egyptian travel guide from Carl Baedeker that would have been printed at this time. It is the Egypt and Sudan 8th edition, printed in 1929. It's got maps and currency conversion and things to
tells you what food to order.
It's a really interesting book. I'll put a link to, there's a PDF of it online. You can read through the entire book. But again, with this book, like so many things now, I was like, you had to carry a book like that when you went somewhere or else you didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't just Google it. I find that market extremely stressful. I can't believe those jewelry sellers get on the boat. Like the whole place, no, I'm not going.
So
I'm staying on the boat.
I think
go get us some interesting food and bring it back.
I think it's a bigger clue to his guilt that he has his passport already and it's nothing is made from it. Like he is premeditated that he took his passport.
Oh, that he knew he was going to go.
He knew he was going to go. Because he's like, oh, I need to ask permission. He knew he was getting off the boat then.
Well, but that doesn't mean that he's guilty. It just means he knows his wife.
Oh, maybe.
Go away, John. I have a headache.
Go away, John. I have a headache. Wow, there are a lot of extras and a camel.
And two people wrestling over a wall hanging?
Yeah, we got pictures of that.
Once you see it, you're like, wow, they are clearly like, ha, we're supposed to pretend to wrestle over this wall hanging. Everybody has a fez or tassels on their hat.
And so Hastings is here for comic relief.
I'm not going to do the tourist things, Poirot. Let me climb on this plywood camel.
Hard cut to the plywood camel.
I love that it's uncomfortable. Of course it's uncomfortable.
Your happy picture on the camel.
It's a slice of plywood in your crotch. Yeah. He's so funny. I really like him in this episode.
Yeah,
he's very brave. Good. He's charming. He's funny. Pamela buys tons of junk. Did you see how much stuff she's carrying?
She does. And she's like, get away from me.
Her name should be Patsy.
Yes.
Because clearly she's bought anything anybody has ever tried to offer her, including the same brass coffee pot that Pamela had in Rhodes.
Yes. I did notice
that. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did. Hastings is all about the competition, though. So
just
if we can't have it on the 14th, we might have it on the 15th, but then the captain's dinner is on the 17th.
So I have a theory.
Why
as
doesn't
to why...
Poirot just scream at him and go, get over it? We don't need to do it.
Well, I have a theory.
Okay.
In 29, it was made illegal to use real birds in these competitions.
Right.
So clay pigeons would have been like a cool new thing at this point in time. It's kind of like the latest video game.
Okay.
So he's excited about it.
Just because they made it illegal to shoot actual birds for practice doesn't mean there weren't clay pigeons around too.
I just think he was excited about it.
I think he's also very good at it.
Then, yes, then I wanted to know what a clay pigeon tosser would cost today.
One of the catapults?
So I looked at one. Yes. How much do you think the do-all outdoors Raven automatic clay pigeon skeet thrower on wheels? It has a 50 clay capacity.
So this is like a batting machine.
Yes.
So you don't even have to like pull it back. You just press a button.
You have a foot switch so you can do it yourself. It's really replaces the servant.
I'm going to guess it's about $2,000.
Nope. $381.
Oh, that's cheap.
I was like, I wonder what else I could put in there and throw at the neighbors.
Donuts.
Donuts.
Bagels.
Yes.
Anything
the dog
and
would go after.
Yeah. Then.
Oh, we could put bagels in that. And they would fit right.
That doesn't make any sense if you don't see the hand motion you were just doing. Can you imagine the hand motion people are imagining when you went, chirp, chirp? No, what's he doing with those bagels, people?
No, I want to throw bagels in the backyard.
Well, she's dead.
Yes.
With a big curvy knife in her chest and her little high-heeled slippers off her feet.
I love how Poirot, in all of these episodes, instantly switches. He instantly...
He goes from being jovial vacation Poirot to business
he's
Poirot.
He's on the case right away.
Yeah. Puts his nose right in there.
Oh, yeah. Finds the beads.
Like sniffing the knife.
And I'm going to say he knew at that point in time that it was most likely Colonel Clapperton. And he started forming conclusions at that moment. Now, in the story, it's like, oh, they find the body. It's Colonel Clapperton.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fast in the story.
Well, his brain immediately says, who could have done it? Who had access?
Yeah.
Right? Means, motive, opportunity.
Yeah.
And really, the only person on the ship with a motive...
was General Red Herring.
...is Clapperton. Because General Forbes kind of loves her. So he wouldn't have done it.
Okay.
So it's either a stranger.
I want to talk about this.
Or it's her husband.
I want to talk about this.
What? So why the man who knew her when she was a little girl then had the hots for her?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was ADC to her father.
That's aide de camp.
Yes. And then he says he was in love with her.
Yeah. Even though he's known her since she was 7.
Yeah. Ew.
Creepy.
Creepy. Not as creepy or stupid as the doctor, though. Oh, she's dead.
See, he's not a doctor, though. That's Bates.
Yeah.
He's just like the purser or something.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that he can narrow down her time of death to a window of 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, he totally guesses.
He has first aid training. That's it.
He totally guesses.
She was killed with a knife.
Poirot needs to be more incredulous than that scene.
Did you recognize Bates, though?
No.
He's played by Jack Chizik.
Okay.
And he was in A Tale of Two Hamlets, A Midsummer.
Oh.
Of course, Skinner was in A Midsummer, too.
Yeah.
That's Colin Higgins. He was in Painted in Blood.
Yes.
Mrs. Tolliver was in A Midsummer. She was in Blue Herrings.
Yes.
Mr. Tolliver was in A Midsummer, Death in Disguise. Miss Henderson was in A Midsummer, The Black Book. And Colonel Clapperton was in Bad Tidings.
Yes, he was in Bad Tidings. I know that. It's like Sandman, the new Netflix show. There's like a whole bunch of
Midsummer
actors in there.
Midsummer.
Yeah.
But... Sheila Allen, who plays Mrs. Clapperton, she of the knife in the chest.
Yeah.
She was in Children of the Damned.
Oh, she was?
Yes.
So, okay. Children of the Damned.
That's the cuckoo movie, right?
So this movie is very interesting. It is the movie version of The Midwich Cuckoos by...
Somebody's screaming it right now.
He also wrote Day of the Triffids. John Wyndham.
Nice. Good job.
So John Wyndham wrote this book. It's about the Village of the Damned. It's hard to find. I've seen it on the big screen. I saw it at a film festival it's great. In Ottawa. It's fantastic. But the reason we wanted to see it was Kim Clark Chapman, who was a VJ on Much Music in Canada when it very, very early VJ when it started, plays four of the children in that movie.
Well, they are identical.
Two girls.
He plays two girls and two boys. Is Clem Clark Chapman a man or a woman?
He's a man.
Okay. And, well, they just put wigs on him. So
yeah, and like that. So that movie is like the center of the universe almost. Okay. It's a great book. It's
there,
a great
movie. Two people in it. Well, yeah. A VJ and Mrs. Yeah. Clapperton. Yeah. Yes, no, I don't know about the center of the universe. It's two people. I'll give it.
It's
to
a good movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah. I don't know who she plays. Not one of the children.
No.
She's a little old for that.
It's a really interesting plot. Essentially, what happens is an asteroid goes over a town and all the women, everyone passes out, and then all the women become pregnant.
Yeah, and they have identical babies who have psychic powers and are evil.
Ish.
Ish.
Village of the Damned. Remade with Christopher Reeves in his last movie before his accident.
Hastings sees Skinner, creepy Skinner.
Yes.
Sneak off the boat and follows him.
Yes.
Even though his pants are in his armpits. I was like, wow, Hastings looks really good in that burgundy shirt. That's really jaunty. And then when you see him in the market, you realize he has on white pants that stop at his nipples.
Yeah.
Hastings, your pants are really high. Did you notice the prostitutes, the sex workers?
Yes.
Did you notice what they were wearing?
No.
They have plastic fruit on their heads.
Plastic.
One of them does at least.
Yeah.
They're grapes on the side of her head. They're like, hey, big boy, okay. You want a grape?
Skinner completely knows, like, he steals these things from a dead woman.
Yeah.
Why is he trying to fence this material now?
Yeah, he could have kept it until their next stop.
Until their next stop.
Maybe he's afraid that the police were going to find it.
Then he should have thrown it away.
You can't get money for something you throw away.
He just takes an unbelievable
risk.
He
could have hidden it on the boat.
Yeah.
He's clearly a dummy.
Yeah.
He's like, I knew I shouldn't have done it. I'm like, well, now you're in an Egyptian jail. Yeah. There's not many worse places you could be, dude.
The Egyptian police have to be involved now. Why are you so upset about Skinner while he has selling the jewelry? Whose jewelry? The dead woman's jewelry. Oh. The dead woman's jewelry.
No, we said bed woman. She's a lady who likes to be in bed. Let's go. But Hastings is brave. He's like, oh, no, you don't. Citizen's arrest. Arm wrestle Skinner.
Meanwhile, Poirot calms the crying girls.
Oh, kitty, whatever. Get over it, kitty.
And then he goes and borrows something.
A life-size wooden mannequin?
Yes.
No. In the short story, he does his little deal with a life-size wooden mannequin.
He does. He does that.
Where in the hell does he find that? And how does he know how to use a mannequin?
But in this... He uses a little lady.
Ismini's
my
doll.
My favorite phrase, the little lady.
She's in the suit. He's so theatrical. He's like, oh, it's a suitcase. Suitcases are so boring, but not this one.
No, no.
Because she's a little lady.
Because he loves to perform. He loves this.
He does. He's having
this
fun.
This is Poirot. And what I love is they completely think he is nuts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even Clapperton is like, oh, we're in for a show now. What's this?
Well, he's obviously told.
He's told the captain.
Told the captain. I bet you he's told Hastings.
Yeah.
Because if not, Hastings would be going, what are you doing, Poirot?
Oh, this is fun. He does this at home, too. This is great. Wait till you see what he does with that doll. It's really cool. The fact that he, in the story, has this big mannequin just doesn't work for me. The doll works.
The doll works.
But Poirot's not big to begin with. No. So if he's got a big old mannequin with him, a big puppet.
Well, more than just Hastings, who's like a big old mannequin most of the time.
Or if he went on to into the market and found a ventriloquist dummy and bought it and brought it back, like that's even weirder.
With a fez on it.
It'd be like a Mechanical Turk or something. Like, hello, I am a mannequin doll. I will speak. What I love,
yes,
is that though the short story is very short, it's very descriptive about this particular scene. Yes, obviously, it is.
Obviously, the whole she thought of this scene
and then put a story and then behind
put
it,
put a story around it.
In the short story, the when they describe the way he talks to the doll, and this is a quote: "It's no longer foreign," meaning his voice. "It had instead a confident English and slightly Cockney inflection." And this is not the doll speaking.
No, no. This is Poirot.
Him speaking to the doll, which...
Because he's trying to be like a vaudevillian.
A showman.
Yeah.
Which, the more I thought about it, I mean, Poirot doing a Cockney accent.
So you have the bad French on top of the Cockney.
"Oi, Dolly, have a natter with me, will ya? Do you know who iron girded the old bag and made her brown bread? Huh? Do ya?" I just can't imagine Poirot doing that.
No.
"How's the weather in the suitcase? Eh, Dolly?
Little lady.
Little lady. Who gave the old hag the drum and fife, eh?" That's Cockney rhyming slang for knife, by the way. "Iron girder is murder and brown bread is dead."
Yep.
I know way too much Cockney rhyming slang. Probably more than Cockney people do. Who think it's old and lame now. But me, I'm an American, so I think it's cool. In the short story, Poirot knows that Clapperton has digitoxin.
Yes.
Which is heart medication.
Why he doesn't use that to kill her.
So he does this whole mannequin thing because he knows it will give Clapperton a heart attack if he's guilty. He
Poirot
kills him.
Kills Clapperton, and his girlie calls him out on it.
Yeah. So they keep the Miss Henderson calling him out.
Yes.
They keep that in the TV version.
Which but makes they get her rid look of, like she's way overreacting. Yeah.
It was very cruel of him to do that to him. Nah.
No.
He needed him to freak out.
Yeah.
So they knew, I mean, it was basically a confession, right?
Yes.
And
I don't approve of murder, yet you just did it.
In the short story.
Yeah, in the short story.
But yeah, clearly Hastings and the captain and Bates know exactly what's going on because they're ready to like grab him.
Yeah.
"I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you, Poirot." You know, take him off.
"If it wasn't for Poirot and your little doll.
And your gray cells." Ah.
He feels his slavery. No, she was horrific.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying she should be murdered, but he could have gotten revenge on her in a myriad of ways.
He could have pushed her over the side. Let the sharks get her.
Could have.
There are no sharks. Glug, glug, glug. So there's two things in this episode.
Look at me with your dolls.
Oi, Dolly, eat that lady.
Oi, little lady.
There's two scenes in this episode that I don't understand that I'm hoping that our viewers, our listeners will be able to help with.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you some timestamps because they're very specific things.
Okay.
At 3810.
Okay.
Hastings and Poirot are in the market and they turn down an alley and there's a rug seller there.
Yes.
And as soon as they walk past him, he turns around and screams at their backs.
Yes.
And I don't know why.
I don't understand that either.
I watched it several times. I don't know what they did. He's either screaming at their backs or screaming at a donkey.
No, either way.
It's
somebody's
weird.
Getting screamed at.
But weirder is another thing. It's at 40 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay.
And there is a moonlit scene of the boat at the dock in the harbor that I swear is illustrated.
I saw that. It's weird.
It looks,
the lighting or something.
It looks almost like it's made out of construction paper.
Yeah, it looks very strange.
It's really weird.
I'm just pleased that after the lady died, they put up the festive lights on the boat.
Well, let's celebrate. The old hag is gone.
Let's have a night of entertainment.
My hospital.
Poirot should have had her as the dummy.
Oh, gosh. No, what I imagined is, what if Poirot did the denouement for all of his cases with a doll? You know, like, oh, no, here comes the Belgian. He has the doll. He knows who did it.
Poirot, the ventriloquist. And a private investigator.
Yes. Hello, darling. Who do you think did the crime?
32 times? No.
Well, Monsieur Poirot, I think it was that guy.
Or white slavers.
It was white slavers.
Or, you know, if he forgets the doll at home, Hastings can always play the part.
Exactly.
You imagine Hastings
sitting on Poirot's lap.
Dressed as a doll with the ringlets and everything. Matrimony. That's why we'll get married. I wouldn't get to sit in Poirot's lap anymore if I was married. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
We don't have to do best corpse. There's only one, and it's definitely the one who needs to be dead.
Yes. With her beautiful shoes on in bed.
Her slippers. Yep. High-heeled slippers never made any sense to me. Anyway, after the credits.
Well,
is Kitty scarred for life, or is she going to get over it?
Did they take him home and charge him? Like,
no, I think the Egyptian police are going to take him.
Like, I hope so.
They're going to say, he did it. He just confessed because he said, yes, that's all he says.
Yes.
That's a confession.
Yeah.
So he's going to be locked up with Skinner.
I think he's getting the death penalty if it's in Egypt.
It is. And that's one of the theories about why he did the whole thing with the heart attack, is that that was better than the death penalty in Egypt.
Okay.
That was more merciful to let him die of a heart attack.
First of all, everybody on this boat has an awesome story. And then he pulled out a doll.
Yeah. Nobody will believe him. Oh, no. Poirot would never do that with a doll.
Little lady.
The little lady. She has a story to tell. Oh, but she is shy.
It's so weird.
You cannot look at her while she talks. It's creepy.
I wonder how old that kid is now. So this is 89.
She didn't act anymore. I know that.
So 89. She's... Let's say she's 10.
Yeah, she's probably 10. Her name was Louisa Janes.
So she would be 20, 30, almost 40 years old.
My age.
Yeah.
Wow.
And almost everybody else is probably dead.
Wow.
Like all the old people.
That's happy.
I guess.
You're so cheery.
Well, Suchet's not dead, and none of the principals are dead.
Do you want some horrible movies?
Yes.
Oh, boy, do I have good ones.
Uh-oh.
This movie is terrible.
Ha, I bet Mark's seen it.
I'm scared here.
Speaking of 80s music, never gonna get it, never gonna get it. I think it's 90s, isn't it?
Yes, 89.
I have two.
Two horrible movies.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where Sarah finds bad movies in which these individuals are in.
Poor decisions the actors have made earlier in their career and agreed to be in a film that they probably regret. But
yes.
Mark has probably seen and enjoyed,
yes,
because he likes that kind of movie.
I do.
Are you ready?
Yep.
This first one is 1974.
Okay.
And the man who plays the captain on the ship, his name is Ben Aris, the actor, okay, is in this film.
Okay.
And here is the description. In order to revive his long hibernating bride, Vampira, Count Dracula takes blood samples from several beautiful models. But during the transfusion, Vampira's race turns from white to black.
Okay. So
Dracula accidentally turns his wife black.
This is not a Hammer film. Who plays Dracula?
Why do I have to tell you that?
Okay.
If I'm going to tell you that, you have to say you don't know what it is.
I think this is called like Ancient Dracula.
I'll give it to you. Because it's called Old Dracula.
Old Dracula, yes.
It came out right after Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
And they said, if you like Young Frankenstein, you'll love Old Dracula.
Yes.
David Niven plays
Dracula. David Niven, that's right.
That's one for you.
Okay.
I'll give it to you. Ancient Dracula is pretty close to Old Dracula.
Yeah, I definitely saw that movie.
But you ain't never getting the second one. 1975, John Normington, who plays Colonel Clapperton, is in this movie.
Okay.
In a corporate-controlled future, an ultra-violent sport known as blank represents the world, and one of its most powerful athletes is out to defy those who want him out of the game.
Okay, so this movie, I remember seeing the commercials for this movie and wanting to see it at the theater. I was a little young at 6 to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It stars James Caan,
mm-hmm,
and it is entitled Rollerball.
Oh, you got it!
Yes, indeed, I got that
movie. I am impressed!
I've seen that maybe 10 times.
Oh my gosh, it looks so stupid.
It is roller skating, roller derby.
It's roller derby for death.
With death.
it's roller derby to survive.
It's part of those 70s movies that Americans made where they took sports, put them in post-apocalyptic settings.
Like Running Man.
Like Death Race 2000 and all that stuff.
Wow, I can't believe you know other movies too that are so bad.
Rollerball. Frank Frazetta did the poster for that movie. It's got like a hand in front of James Caan's face. It's a painted poster.
Is this like right? It's right around Tron too, isn't it?
No, no, no. Tron's 80.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I remember seeing.
Wow, two for two today. I remember
seeing the ads on television for that and wanting to see it. It looked so cool. It looked edgy and sort of like it wanted to be Blade Runner, but it was not Blade Runner.
Oh, gosh, no, because it's on roller skates.
It's on
roller. It's like Death Xanadu. I mean, come on.
Wow, second Xanadu reference this week.
Well, R.I.P. Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, that's such a weird movie.
Good job.
Yes, yeah.
Old Dracula and Rollerball.
Rollerball.
Which is now just a kind of pen, by the way. One of my favorite pens is a Rollerball. Now I'm going to look at it and go, James Caan, Rollerball.
It's. I'm not going to say it's a good movie.
But you still liked it.
But I watched it a couple of times.
If you've seen it 10 times, you liked it.
It's far more about, as the thing says, it's far more about corporate culture.
It's 1984 on roller skates, right?
No, because it's not big government, it's big company.
Oh, okay. Okay. Big corporation.
It's big corporation. And it's all like film. There are parts of it filmed in New York in the 70s, so it looks apocalyptic.
Yeah.
But also futuristic. It has like a 2001 vibe to it. At some point.
Wow, you know way too much about that horrible movie.
Yep, I do. I do indeed.
That is Problem at Sea.
Which is our last Poirot episode.
From season one in
this group.
The next episode.
We're going to do, which releases on the 5th of September.
Mm-hmm.
Will be our reviews and
we're going to do the best and worst Poirot movie adaptations.
So this is everything but Suchet.
Right. Okay. That were released as movies or TV movies.
Yep. Everything.
Who's the worst?
But Suchet.
Who's the best?
From the beginning to.
We're going to rank them. We're going to ask you to rank them. Yeah. We'll compare. Tony Randall's the worst,
so,
by the way.
How you rank them, we'll get to Tony Randall.
Oh my gosh, he's the worst.
Sweet Jesus, we'll get to Tony Randall. He should not have ever been allowed to go to England after that movie.
No, they should have banned him.
Anyway, we lasted 5 minutes in that movie. I think we should probably watch a little more of it.
It's going to be worse.
I know.
Anyhow, we're going to rank them.
We're going to rank them. And you can contribute to this because mm-hmm. we're going to have your rankings too. And this is going to go up probably when this episode is released. So you'll have a week.
So you look on Instagram and Facebook for the polls. Should they look?
Oh, Facebook, Instagram, and the mailing list.
Okay.
If you join the mailing list, you'll get it sent right to your mailbox.
Okay.
Okay. If not, look at Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook.
But do participate in the poll and we'll compare the way you rank them to the way we rank them.
Yes, absolutely. So then... After that, September 12th, a week later, we will be having Father Brown start. So
yes.
This is the modern Father Brown,
mm-hmm.
Father Brown Volume 2, not the old-timey in-video Father Brown,
no.
Which is great and weird and strange in its own way. But this is the first episode.
Season 1, episode 1.
Which is Hammer of God, which is a C.K. Chesterton story.
Yep.
And... really sets the tone for the whole show.
Yep.
It does it very well.
That's where we're going to start.
That'll be September 12th, and then we'll do two more episodes from Father Brown, and then I think we might do the old Father Brown, talk about it. Because it's lovely.
It's just different.
But weird.
Yes.
So
be on the lookout for the poll and all that good stuff. And an announcement
Mystery
about
Maniacs
new swag.
On Facebook, Instagram. Mm-hmm. Twitter, all that good stuff, and email. Follow us, like, subscribe. If you're listening on YouTube, like and subscribe and hit the bell. It's free. Gotta stay up with the current trends.
Is
on
that
the
what
YouTube.
Convinces people?
Yep.
It's free.
And thank you again for listening. It's so nice to see that we've made this transition seamlessly into
Oi,
Mystery Maniacs.
Dolly, have a natter with me. It's Poirot.
Bye, Maniacs.
Bye, Maniacs. Who's brown bread?
Thanks for joining us on the Mystery Maniacs podcast. If you enjoyed our crazy podcast today, don't miss out on future episodes. Follow us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and exclusive sneak peeks. Subscribe, like, and share to spread the word. Bye, Maniacs. And your little dog too. Remix.
Doll.
Wiki, wiki, wiki. Your little doll too. Mm-hmm. Wiki, wiki, wiki. Let me do that again.
That's the remix.
Yep.